All right.
You're good.
What? Gonna get started. Any public comment? Public comment. Public comment. Anybody?
Wow.
Wow.
Let
John,
it be
you're up.
Too nice a day.
Yeah, it's a good day to be inside, isn't it?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
All right, today we're going to dive into a review of the changes that were made to the conservation element based on the discussion that happened last week. So we'll review an updated list of goals, objectives, and strategies. One of the changes that was requested for the third goal was to expand what we were talking about with regard to the protection of the natural functions and quality of the county's resources, which includes surface waters, groundwater, wetlands, and floodplains. Everyone's fine with this?
Yes.
Okay. Conservation objectives and strategy updates included a revision to strategy 5.1.1.1, where we're changing consider revisiting to revisit the county code to determine if modifications are needed to open space requirements or incentives can be developed to promote less fragmentation of open space, and then the removal of strategy number 2. We also removed strategies 5 and 6 from this objective. Objective 5.1.2, protect natural and agricultural areas, as a change to protecting environmentally sensitive areas, to try to clarify what we were referring to, and then that is for directing development and growth away from those areas. And then that first strategy, we clarified what we meant by critical wildlife habitat. We wanted to expand that to include groundwater, waterways, sensitive habitat areas, and other natural lands. And as these changes are being made, we're applying them to other similar strategies and objectives throughout the plan. For objective 4, we have strategy 4.4, which consider the methods to formulate stronger strategies for better protecting groundwater. We removed the phrase yet locally acceptable. And then toward the end, we said we're going to just have other natural lands as opposed to critical natural lands. So we removed the word critical. And then for first strategy under objective 5.1.5, we remove the end phrase that require a match and just state that it's the renewal of the county's contribution to the State Farmland Preservation Program and other federal or state programs. For strategy 5.1.6.2, we removed the language from that entirely. And then for objective 5.2.1, the third strategy there, we deleted the last part of that strategy. So it now says work with the Delaware Department of Agriculture and the farming community to preserve more Sussex County farms through agricultural preservation easements. For objective 5.3.1, the first strategy there, we changed slightly to consider working with stakeholders to develop incentives or a program for wetlands and waterways protection. So remove the word buffer and title from that strategy. For objective 5.3.1, strategy 6, determine if a review of the existing county wellhead and water recharge protection ordinance is needed. And then for strategy 7, recognize the inland bays, their tributaries, and other water bodies as a valuable open space area of ecological and economic importance. For objective 2, we removed 2 strategies, 2 and 3. And then for objective 4, remove the first 2 strategies from that here. Also for objective 4, we changed strategy 3, removing the word promote and rewriting it to say continue to support the Sussex County Conservation, District Conservation Programs and its management and implementation of statewide stormwater regulations. For objective 5, we made revisions to strategies 4 and 5. 4 will now say consider the evaluation of the future impacts of flooding as part of Sussex County Hazard Mitigation Plan. And five says support shoreline stabilization initiatives such as Partnership for the Delaware Estuaries Living Shoreline Initiative and other similar programs. I'd like to go back to number four and ask, I guess, what the county is trying to do, if there is a county hazard mitigation plan that is already doing it, if this language is appropriate or if we need to clarify.
I can answer part of that. The county does have a hazardous mitigation plan that we spent a good amount of time a year plus ago rewriting or redoing and updating with our consultant as well as partners with DEMA and FEMA. So we do have a current hazard mitigation plan that's been vetted through the normal process. I can't speak on the future impacts of flooding, but I know future impacts of flooding was clearly part of the hazards identified in the plan, because we have reoccurring flooding, not high-level flooding that takes place at a hurricane, but reoccurring flooding on certain weather systems that does exist. So, and that does impact properties, and we need to be prepared for that. Other than that, that's probably as much as I'm comfortable saying. Our plan, if you've seen it, is about 6 inches thick, so it covers everything that a normal county would have in their mitigation plan.
And I would just add the second part of that is that it ticks one of those boxes that we have to cover in the plan, you know, in terms of flooding and other things by incorporating that hazard mitigation plan by reference.
Okay, so I guess as written, the language says consider the evaluation of impacts of flooding as part of the plan, the hazard mitigation plan. Maybe tweak or clarify that to say that consider the evaluation of future impacts of flooding as described or as noted in the hazard mitigation plan.
It seems the way it's written now, you're going to yield to the plan and the actions in the plan,
okay,
which may be appropriate. I don't right. know that it needs to live in the comp plan or the hazard mitigation plan.
But are we? Because I look at the Sussex County Hazard Mitigation Plan as a Sandy type instance, right? And are we trying to address just the flooding impacts that occur with winds and high tide in that same statement? Or is that solely for emergency use? The future impact of flooding, period. And then as part of the hazardous mitigation plan, we don't kick in the county's hazardous mitigation plan last Monday.
You could do. I mean, the hazard mitigation plan is designed to be for any hazard, how to mitigate this in the county, natural hazard.
Big and small, I guess, right?
Yeah. Okay. Whether it's a nor'easter or a high tide comes in the back okay. bay, isn't that right, Todd?
Yeah, I would, one clarification, natural and man-made.
Oh, yeah.
So it has, it identifies that we are in one of the circles of the Salem nuclear plant. You know, that kind of okay. thing is in that large plan.
Well, John, what's your concern about it?
I just wasn't sure what we were trying to do as part of this plan in the evaluation of future impacts of flooding when it says as part. So it sounds like it wasn't clear to me if it was.
What would you rather do? Is there another word?
Well, it could be fine if the council is fine with it, and Mr. Lawson was explaining, I guess, the reasoning behind why the language was the way it is. I just wanted to clarify from my perspective if there was something that needed to be changed. If not, you know, we can leave it the way it is.
Don?
Yes, Mr. Lawson.
I think we're overlapping soil conservation because they're doing the same thing as this right here. We're talking about it all the time. How to cut back on erosion, we plant cover crops, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all doing the same identical thing as on here. Talking about flooding, it's supposed to be along the rivers and along the bays and those kind of things. As far as flooding, we don't see much flooding in on inlands. Along the waterways, they see a lot of flooding.
Right. Okay.
But most of that's all been taken care of by soil conservation. They've got ditches. Most of those ditches they dig, they run to the main streams, and main streams all on out to the bay, and out to the bay on out to the ocean. It's almost like the Bible says.
Sam, do you think we should change this wording then?
I don't know. We can change what we want, but I think.
Well, that's what we're talking about, changing wording. You want to change your wording?
I think actually, I think a lot of it's overlap. Before we got most of this, it's already been taken care of.
Okay.
A lot of us, believe it or not, I think we've turned this over to the soil conservation. A lot of this hadn't been turned over to the soil conservation. Am I wrong? Well, say it. Is that right?
It may be. I guess to get back to the question, though, if the language is fine, we can just move on.
Yes. For the time being, move on. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll revisit it.
Just go on. Just.
I don't think anybody's got any heartburn over that.
Nope.
I think we need to forget it. Just put it under conservation. Let it go.
All right. For objective 5.4.1, the second strategy we added, work to reduce auto emissions.
I don't know how we're going to do that.
By supporting alternative modes and or improve traffic flow. That would be through our community design and community planning efforts.
Okay.
So a strategy we kind of punted last week, reevaluate the 20-foot landscape buffer between new developments and adjacent uses to determine if buffer size is adequate or reasonable. One of the things that we were thinking about talking about today is seeing if we could identify a range of landscape buffer distances based on location and context. And in that, the county would consider establishing a minimum buffer distance for all new developments, which would be increased based on the proximity of adjacent uses or intensity of use.
I don't know if you should add also the heights. We had this one instance where, you know, the big building was close to the setbacks, and there was arguments made that when you go up so high, you should go back further. Should maybe
okay
proximity of adjacent uses and intensity maybe and heights of
yep,
adjacent
we can add that
structures, huh?
I like it.
You like it?
Sounded good, George.
So we what we'll do is we'll come up with some
Mikey likes it.
New strategy language that can be included in the chapter for review at a future meeting.
As I think this through just a little bit, when you go up height, and you got the same footprint, regardless what it is, how high it is, you still got the same footprint. You've got the same runoff on the water. It's going to run down. If it's 20 feet wide, it's still going to run off the same amount of water. So I don't know where height plays part.
If it's more than 20 feet, though, that means more water. You expand the distance the water would travel away from that use.
Do what?
So there would be a larger catchment area for that runoff outside of that use because there's more than 20 feet.
You think we need a bigger buffer for bigger, higher buildings?
It depends on how much impervious surface is on the space. So a building height doesn't necessarily dictate impervious surface, but what's surrounding it could.
That may play the same part in a two-story building. Depends
right.
on what's down there, catch the amount of water coming down.
Right.
So
okay.
Four-story, I don't think makes any difference.
I don't think so either. However, there may be more required parking for a four-story building versus a one or two-story,
yeah.
which would increase the parking area.
You're right.
So, you know, I guess it depends. But the building itself wouldn't dictate that. All right. For review, strategy 5.3.1.4, evaluate, remove the effectiveness of, and so it now says evaluate the county's buffer requirement for wetlands. It used to say 50-foot and tidal. We went and found some information from the Center for Inland Bays regarding adequate protection, and that ranges from 50 feet on freshwater flats and depressional wetlands to 300 feet on tidal areas by gradual uplands. And then again, for optimal protection, that starts at 100 feet for freshwater flats and depressional wetlands all the way up to 500 feet on tidal areas by gradual uplands. So what we did is we created some language that says identify an appropriate range of wetland buffer distances based on location and context. County will consider establishing a minimum buffer distance of 50 feet to 300 feet for adequate protection efforts and 100 feet to 500 feet for optimal protection efforts.
That's on non-wet tidal lands, right?
This is not...
Non-tidal.
We just took the word tidal out.
I did.
But we're looking at minimum buffer distances.
Now, context. What do we mean by context? What's the definition of...
So context...
I know what location means, but context.
Context could be a more developed area versus a more rural area. Context could be a high traffic area versus a low traffic area. Context is what the character is that surrounds that place.
Okay, is that, in other words, is there so many ways to interpret context? Could we get in trouble with the word context?
I was thinking that
a better word or something.
We could use the word context to provide flexibility in saying, if you're moving away from a developed area to a less developed area, you would then be able to kind of make a determination that the context is changing, and therefore you could apply a different metric or approach to what those minimum distances would be.
Mr. Cole, I don't think here in the comp plan that you can get in trouble.
Worry about that?
Okay. For the word context.
Okay.
Where you have to be specific would be in the ordinance that would implement it.
I just get concerned who's determining context.
It depends on the context of the context.
Sam, if Sam was doing it.
Well, if I look at it.
I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to mention your name.
If I lay on Route 9 here, this road shuts off to the right going to the charter school, and you look over to the left there, we're standing out there halfway to knees. I'd say we're really wetlands there, so we better watch what we're building out there.
Well, the context.
That's the context.
That's
school.
The context. You think I'm kidding?
I like
you. Look at it.
No, I knew you
got to get there's so much water there. Seagulls are laying out there all the time. They think it's a place to go. They've come in from the ocean.
Okay, so it sounds like we're good with this language?
Yes, sir.
All right. Strategy for review, 5.1.4.6, establish a county goal for open space and natural resource preservation acreage. It wasn't really clear what we were trying to accomplish. The language that I'm putting here is consider options to better track the amount of open space and natural resource areas preserved on an annual basis. I guess that's up for discussion if we want to do that. But it is not specific to using acreage or something else. It could be something of the county's choosing in terms of how you want to track that and how frequently.
Have we determined what the definition for open space is?
No. We just voted today for open space.
I think in one of the strategies, and when we discussed it last time, is that that's something maybe if we get to an ordinance, that was something we would look into.
And this is one where I don't think the commission wanted to get bogged down too much in like definitions. It was more that there be sort of just regular review, you know, or strategy for whether it's farm preservation or, you know, land trust purchases, whatever, just so there could be some tracking of that rather than, so it's not so ad hoc, you know, that there's sort of more measurable goals or triggers or whatever, anyhow, just so it could be sort of tracked.
And Mr. Burton, we're going to be talking about that a little bit in a couple of slides.
You keep score as score goes up, but if you don't know what you're scoring as far as open space, then you don't know what you're tracking.
Right.
So that would fall into an ordinance.
But isn't this, I think the intent here, if we were to get it all the way to the ordinance, the intent is whatever space, land, acreage this council preserves, be it open space or even farmland preservation, we could track that.
Yes.
So that, we're just talking about what we preserve, what the county preserves, not what's
correct.
Preserved
correct.
Out there by the private sector.
I think that's the intent here. Mm-hmm. For us to go out and see what the Nature Conservancy or the Mount Cuba Foundation has preserved over the last year in this county, that would be a much different mission.
And I don't know that this one, because not everyone necessarily requires an ordinance, and this is one that I don't necessarily think requires an ordinance. It's just an effort by the county to better kind of track that.
Well, and I agree with that, but if you go down Todd's Road of of Mount Cuba, various farmland preservation, that's one tracking. Tracking the fact that a development has 42% open space, and you're counting the stormwater management, and you're counting all, that has no value.
Yeah, right. No, I don't think that's what this is in reference to.
Okay, definitely not.
What's the name of that spot that we had that was down, a piece of land we gave down here, down here at Dagsboro?
The Botanical
Garden. Botanical Garden.
Botanical Gardens. That was open space at one time. We can't say it no more. Tie a panel of trees, build all those buildings in there. That's not open space.
It's still open now. It's open and green.
It's what?
It's open space, Sam.
Well, we call it gardens if you want to. To me, it's not open space.
Okay, that's you. That's your definition.
If I got a cornfield and I plant corn in, I don't call it open space no more. It's filled up with corn.
Okay.
All right.
I can't help it, George. I keep getting over your head.
There's Webster's Dictionary, and then there's Wilson's Dictionary.
probably the Alvin strategy.
Okay.
Makes more sense than.
All right. So.
Mr. Webster.
Did we miss something? Yeah, we missed one. Okay.
Can you imagine if there was five Sam Wilsons sitting here?
Bye-bye. Exciting time.
All right, so new strategy.
It'd be like this.
The conservation zone, open space, and tree preservation. Objective 5.1.1 talks about encouraging development practices and regulations that support natural resource protection. We went and took a look at the county code, and the conservation zone definition talks about an area of land extending landward from the mean high water line of tidal water bodies, where it is necessary to establish increased lot size requirements for parcels proposing individual on-site sewage, also septic systems, and individual on-site wells. So we were talking about adding the strategy that talks about reviewing the county code to determine improvements to the conservation zone, based on last week's discussion.
The conservation zone doesn't exist if you have sewer?
Correct.
No.
The rules are different, right?
The rule, it still exists, but the lot size can come down, but you still have the lot frontage requirement is still remains the same.
The lot size goes to what's ever permitted in that district.
Correct. If you have, so normally if you are on septic and well, you need an acre in size and 150 feet of road frontage. If you have sewer, you can, and if it's zoned MR, you can come down to 10,000 square feet, but you still have to have 150 feet of road frontage.
If you're in the conservation.
If you're within.
Anywhere. The 150 foot, they open everywhere.
Well, that's only in the conservation zone. If you're on a state-maintained road, you need 150 feet of road frontage. If you're on a private road, your road frontage depends on zoning. But if you're in the conservation zone, you automatically have to have 150 feet of road frontage if you're above the water.
Now, if you have sewer established, you can go back to probably 100 feet, right?
No.
Can't do that?
No. The only thing that changes in the conservation zone if you have sewer is your lot size decreases. Your frontage is still 150 feet.
Of course, that was back in the old days. That was I one time on my map said I could go put four to a lot as long as I got sewer there, sewer and water. But you can't have your water anywhere near where all the sewer's at.
Well, there is in this area, like we'll use like the Nanny Coke or somebody over the Broad Creek, if they're on one of those waterways on the western side, there's no sewer available. The soils would determine if you needed anything more than an acre, right, typically.
This does not apply to the western side. This is identified, this is why it might be an idea to look
at.
Well,
they're in the conservation zone on the western side.
It is not. It is referenced in a comprehensive land use plan.
Yeah, I should have been.
So the section of code references two comprehensive comp plans from 88 and 90, and it reflects the map that is shown on the eastern side and properties within 1,000 feet of the eastern side that was shown in that comprehensive plan. It does not impact the western side. So the water bodies on the western side do not fall into the conservation zone. So maybe we want to review?
Well, I think we ought to, definitely review
okay.
the conservation zone, because the east side really doesn't have the issue as much as now the west side does.
So you're good with the new strategy?
Yeah, I guess, sure.
And that's the whole county, that strategy.
That would be to look at the conservation zone, and if the intent is, if the desire is to look and see if
that... Add the word countywide to it then.
Because that would be part of the...
You could define it how you want to define it at the time that...
We just said
countywide. An ordinance comes through.
Because that only says eastern side, right? Improvements to the conservation zone. If the conservation zone is only on the east...
I thought it was all countywide.
And we haven't expanded it.
Right, but you can do that as part of the ordinance. If the ordinance gets reviewed, you can include that it gets amended to include.
Well, the strategy.
You're reviewing the county code. I mean, that's what the review is. Not. I mean, the county code is where the conservation zone is, so you can change what's in the code too.
Well, I'm just trying to clarify in case somebody reads it in the future,
okay.
They will know we meant the countywide, not the current review, just the current conservation zone. I could easily read it that way, as well as.
So you're saying review county code to determine improvements to the conservation zone and its location? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or just saying to the county conservation code countywide.
Yeah, or countywide.
Yeah, just put the word countywide somewhere.
Okay, so
determine countywide improvements to the conservation zone.
There you go.
But aren't we getting ahead of ourselves by saying that, because the conservation zone is only on the east side of the county today?
But our strategy, right? But Mike, we can change.
Well, I know, but maybe we shouldn't say conservation zone countywide, because it's not countywide today. Maybe we should say something like.
So you're looking for the qualifier recognize that it should be countywide.
Yeah, some way to word it should be looked at countywide, but that I don't know what that would be, Mr. Robertson.
Mr. Robertson.
But
it could be review county code
improvements.
To including the entire county.
I think,
Doesn't conservation take care of that?
No, this is something different. This is not conservation. Like
strategies, let's revise. Why don't we say revise county code?
In our county codes. Yeah.
Revise the county code to determine.
No, that's not that part of it.
Improvements to the requirements and location of the conservation zone. Review county code to determine improvements to the requirements and location of the conservation zone.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I knew that turning figure that out.
Yeah, the gears were turning there. Smoke handles coming.
I saw it. I saw it. I was concerned.
But that would also look at lot sizes and everything, right?
It would look at the entire section of code.
Okay.
All right, we'll make that change. Also, looking at evaluating county code definition of open space to determine if modifications need to be made relating to the calculation of open space.
Okay. Definitely, yes.
New strategy. Consider creating an ordinance designed to protect established, mature, healthy trees during the construction of new residential and mixed-use developments to better preserve existing trees and green spaces.
I like that.
Okay.
Are we boxing ourselves in with residential and mixed use?
I wasn't sure. I was trying to... commercial uses, industrial uses, I wasn't sure if the preservation of trees on those spaces would be as appropriate as it would be for residential or mixed use.
We would agree to it, or from a planning standpoint, your recommendation?
Usually, when I'm thinking about a larger commercial development or industrial type development, your need for that parcel in terms of infrastructure and design would probably require a lot of clear cutting. Whereas residential and mixed use, you would want to preserve some of those green areas as part of the character of that space. But again, I can take that out and just leave it open so it can be applied regardless of the type of new development.
I know you received quite a bit of complaints about a development taking place right now just west of Love Creek where it's mixed use and it was clear cut. And if we box ourselves in for that, then perhaps future types of activities like that wouldn't fall under this.
All right. We could leave it open.
We could just say construction of new developments to better preserve and just take out residential and mixed use. Okay. And then county fee simple acquisition. This would be under objective 5.1.5, explore new funding mechanisms for conservation in the county. Strategy suggested would be consider fee simple acquisition as an approach to permanently preserve the county's open space.
Now, John, my only comment on this was at the commission level, why limit it to fee simple? You could probably acquire more acreage through easements. I mean, maybe fee simple is one way to go, but why limit it to that?
We can expand
still
it.
Pay for the easements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your money might as well,
if you don't pay as much.
Right. Maybe, right. Yeah. That's the idea. So, for example, you know, I know one of the situations that was bad around, you know, if we establish a certain buffer dimension from wetlands, but we say, all right, you know, that's what the code requires. That, you know, if it's of some importance, the county could say, all right, well, we'll pay for an easement of an additional 150 feet or whatever, you know, but, you know, whereas if it's highly prized land, we wouldn't be able to pay for that, you know, so you might be able to, you know, keep your options open for different types
of things. So add additional language to talk about using preservation easements as well as fee simple mm-hmm. acquisition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't know why we just box ourselves into just fee simple. Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to, put anything? Right, consider acquisition. I mean, I mean, aren't you boxing it in if you give the if you only give two options, and there may be three or four?
Or you could do consider acquisition such as fee simple or easements as an approach to permanently.
I would just
preserve.
Say that maybe consider acquisition methods as an approach to permanently.
Consider deeded acquisition can be variants. I mean, of easements or deeded fee simple.
Right. I like methods.
But a deed, what anything with a deeded attached to it has got more clout to it than anything else, right?
Because it's recorded, right?
So you put consider deeded acquisition.
Methods. Everything would be deeded.
Yeah.
So
right.
We
that's
clarify.
What I said.
Or recorded. So
all of the above.
Yep. Okay.
You can record some. It's not
okay. We also received a few comments from the public.
Sure.
The executive director for the Center for Inland Bays suggested adding a strategy in support of financing the waterway management of inland bays, similar to a tax district. This is something the county would want to consider exploring.
Consider strategies supporting
financing. There's a broad subject.
Well, I know, I'll tell you what, in this community of Quillen's Point, the state had dredged, you know, a certain channel, but then this community wanted some dredging done to their, you know, that would benefit them primarily, and they paid for it.
Just so, like our street improvement kind of program where the subdivision pays for the roadway improvements, they pay for
it. They work through it themselves. Now, if a number of communities wanted to partake in it, you could create a special tax district. I mean,
my thought on this would be, is that something, or my question, is that something that's better suited for the state legislature? Because I'm thinking, you know, like, so the inland bays, we could certainly do a waterway management district if you wanted to on the county land. But, you know, Rehoboth Bay's got Dewey, you know, and municipalities, I guess, that back up, and same with, you know, some of the other waterways. It almost seems like it should be, you know, because a tax ditch, that's not a county program. That's one set by state law.
Well, this kind of falls in with what Chris was talking about, right?
That's what
it's yeah.
I mean, that's kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether it be good or be it bad, but that's
mm-hmm.
kind of a playoff on what he was talking about.
I mean, the only problem with a tax district, I mean, is
even if you try to do that on something that was beyond county lands, you know, I mean,
yeah, right,
like
right.
streetlight district or whatever.
Right.
So then those people in that district would be paying for, I guess, dredging or whatever. But how about all the people that don't live on there that use that use where they're dredging?
Right.
Well, I mean, adding a strategy doesn't mean it has to be our strategy, right? Or does it?
Was that contrary to our plan?
Well, yeah.
I mean, reference to other things in there that are state.
We could link you know? To the state.
So how we add a lot of people into this is that you can have a tax ditch, which I'm imagining.
And I guess this is in support of it. It's not doing it. So right. that way we'd be supporting
right.
that initiative.
Right, 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 right,
so
right,
it's
right.
up to you whether you want to support that initiative.
Well, we ought to do whatever we can because there is a problem out there in our inland waterways about dredging. And if there's any way we could help,
yeah.
we ought to be at the table because we create a lot of subdivisions and that are impacting all these waterways. On the bays and stuff. So
majority of them,
all of them. Yeah, right. So we need to be at the table, and be part of the solution. So somehow leave it in the.
I guess so. This is how this one would sort of play out in real life would be if Center for Inland Bays went to Dover and said that they want to have this enacted in a state law. They could point to this language in our comp plan says Sussex County supports
yeah,
this
right.
initiative.
Maybe eliminating the financing piece would help. Just in support of you know, just let's find another word. But
yeah.
I think financing is what's causing the heartache.
Yeah, there's no money.
That would be turned around somehow in leg hole that we're supporting it financially.
Well, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's true.
I think
true.
We should get rid of the financing piece.
Yeah.
County boat fee. Because we don't tax in Delaware. We just fee.
For those who are not aware, the waterways, a lot of them are already being taxed.
In support of finding
Excuse
solutions?
Me,
or
Sam's saying something.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Mr. Wilson.
That's all right.
I apologize.
Anyway, the waterways are already being taxed. I've been a manager of one of the waterways on Phipps Ditch. And actually, people don't know it, but this Phipps Ditch comes all the way up to Redden Road and the dual highway. Rains water all the way into the Phipps Ditch, and it runs. It helps drain all those roadways, so a lot of that water comes all the way back to the main. All goes actually all the way back to the Nanticoke River. So when you go saying taxpayers not paying for it or not getting all the use because they're not paying enough money, actually they're using roadways. So it went for roadways tax. This would not be drained. So I said no.
Yes, thank you.
All right, George, go ahead.
Thank you. We're talking about the bay. Anyway.
I think they're talking about tax or something, wasn't George?
We ought to have something in here. Do you want to take out the word financing? Somehow we need to be at the table for supporting waterway management. Inland bay, Sam, not tax ditches.
It seems like it's as easy as just taking it out. So it says consider adding a strategy in support of the waterway management of inland bays. Of course, that's just what says what we're going to say. That's not even the strategies. I'm reading it again, so we actually need the strategy. So I guess the strategy would be look at ways to support waterway management of inland bays. Right?
Or partnership with the state, federal.
You know, I wouldn't even say partnership.
Yeah,
that could be interpreted.
Yeah.
Many ways. Mostly financial.
And that doesn't discount that, but it doesn't also promote that either. You know.
Then lock us in into financial.
Right.
Maybe explore opportunities to better support the management of waterways in the inland bays area or something along those lines?
Yeah, something like that.
Now, to Mr. Vincent's point, is there a reason why it's just the inland bays and not the Nanticoke River and some of the others? I think, Mr. Cole, you brought that up too.
Well, again, this came from the Center for Inland Bays.
Yeah, no, I know. But
it's
a Sussex County plan. It just seems like, why wouldn't it just be waterways in Sussex County?
Mm-hmm.
That way it's more.
That's so, what happened. Once George moved east, he forgot about us.
explore opportunities to better support.
Didn't look back.
Waterway management.
Yeah.
All right, we'll work on that.
You get the idea, yeah.
All right. For byways, a suggestion, consider increasing bonus density on a sliding scale based on the value of building lots. Strategy 4.1.1.1 talks about evaluating county density bonus program to determine ways to better encourage use of the program. That could be maybe referred to or expanded upon using the sliding scale approach.
I'll be honest, I would just leave the strategy the way it is, because I think the way it's worded encompasses what Ms. Van Gilder talked about, and probably, you know, when we get around to looking at the bonus density program, I imagine we're going to look at all sorts of different things, you know, whether to scrap it, whether to blow it up and do it completely different or whatever. So
right.
I think just leave that the way it is. That's my suggestion.
There was a suggestion to establish the County Parks and Rec Department.
That got addressed in the recreation and open space chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So we really discussed that in the recreation and open space chapter.
If there's maybe language in there that we could carry over into the conservation chapter, that might be appropriate. All right, we'll take a look.
What are you saying? Is that staying in there?
No, I'm just saying.
Established means.
No.
It doesn't
say
that. No.
No, the goal, the strategy in the recreation open space does not state that.
That's what we're saying. Leave it the way it is.
I think we just leave the way.
And not say that.
Okay. So under conservation, we're striking out of there.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It was never in there. That Ms. Van.
Right.
I'm just saying we're going to strike this as her recommendation.
Yeah.
Suggest open space set aside requirement.
Establishing county parks.
That's
open. Suggest open space set aside requirements for developments not using cluster design.
We're starting Georgetown, don't we?
Mr. Robertson.
On this one? Well, if you're not using a cluster design, there's not any currently any open space required. You get 3/4 acre lots, you know, and you just build what you can.
Or for sewer, you get
half. Well, yeah, right. No, for sewer, you get smaller. You know, I don't have an opinion really one way or the other.
This could be also discussed in the community design chapter. We have a couple illustrations that we can point to for that.
Yeah.
Is this done elsewhere?
I think when folks think about cluster design, it's about designating certain areas as buildable land and other areas as dedicated open space. And you can look at ways of more integrating some of that so that it's not just pushing things off one way and then having something another way. You can actually have a design that would be more of an integrated approach that could meet some sort of set-aside requirement. And it could be, I guess, if you're looking at all of the open space that may not be obviously in one area, but throughout potential development to meet that requirement.
But this is a change from what we do now, because what John just alluded to, that's all in the cluster design path if you're going that way for a subdivision. What this would mean is that, you know, right now, if you want to do 3/4 acre lots in an AR1 subdivision, you just build 3/4 acre lots. You know, you have your roads and your stormwater, and that's it. I guess, you know, it would be a change because you're saying, all right, you can do 3/4 acres, but you have to set aside a certain percentage of your acreage, open space.
No, I don't think the big complaints have been in the past on our AR1 subdivision.
No.
When they go in and use larger lots and build out a development. where we get it is you get the more density, and then, or if there's a nice feature on it and they want it, you know, obliterated or something.
Yeah, and the part of the thought is on the larger lot developments, it has a more open appearance anyway, you know, because the house sizes or the lot sizes aren't smaller. You know, you've got houses on larger lots, so there's, you know, more vistas and everything like that.
And the yard is.
That's what I mean. The yard's a lot bigger, right?
And this is really covered in multiple different goals, objectives, and strategies in the recreation and open space chapter. Not in this specific, but there's a lot of There's a number of strategies that look at preserving open
That's
space,
true.
Creating open space in that chapter. So I don't know if we actually need an additional one in this
cluster,
chapter.
Because then you get more density if you set this aside.
Right.
If you don't set any aside, you're going to have to go with the standard AR1 subdivision.
Right, right. I think it's just you can strike.
But have we...
Strike this out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last one, include language about the preservation of Great Marsh.
Well, didn't she say there wasn't any mention of the Great Marsh in the narrative? I thought she said, or somebody did.
I believe that's what she said, that we didn't mention the Great Marsh at all.
And I think that if we didn't mention it, we need to mention it.
Did we mention other features?
Yeah, I know it lists natural resources in Sussex County, you know.
And it's not listed.
And I forgot to go back and look to that particular one, but she said it wasn't listed in there.
They listed the burnt swamp, right?
I think they, yeah. I don't know about that specifically, but there are natural features in Sussex County that are listed in the plan. You know, those are sort of examples of what we have in Sussex County.
Pages at all.
And that one's not in there, I don't think. And that at least should be identified as one.
Is it in this book, you know?
Most likely pages 4 through 7.
There's a list.
Where it starts getting into those items.
There's a difference between mentioning it, right, and then, quote unquote, the preservation of it. So I'm not so sure.
Yeah, no, right. But I think her point was it wasn't even
mentioned,
yeah.
Right.
As a resource.
4 and 6 of where?
I think her point's probably more about the preservation.
Well, yeah.
And we should look to do that there other places.
Yeah. I mean, like, so Redden Forest talked about being 12,000 acres, the Net Prime Hooks, 10,000 acres, you know, so that gives examples. You know, it just, I think her point, whether you agree or not, her point was that's a significant enough one. It ought to
do you agree that should be in there
absolutely.
Somewhere? Where you live it in there?
Absolutely.
Not only Great Marsh, but in that district. Why not just add it? Like,
sometimes in the area he lives there.
We can add a reference to it.
I think it should be there, but to Rob's point, I think the real question is, what about the preservation of these natural features, not just the Great Marsh?
Is the Great Marsh protected by any organization? I know Prime Hook is. It's not a state park. It's not a federal park. It's
federal
nothing,
park.
Right?
It's a federal park.
There's no protection.
Great Marsh
is. I don't think there is.
Is it private?
Of their own,
it's a private deal.
I think it's company.
Yeah. Do property lines go through all of the Great Marsh?
Do property lines? Yeah.
I don't think they go out.
Is the Great Marsh?
We've got 12 acres.
Plotted. And reported.
Duck hunting.
Like,
you own parts of it? You do?
My family.
Well, isn't that something?
Well, now we've got to preserve it.
Can't do anything with it.
But that's
you can only access it by boat.
But is that true throughout the going down to Brock Hill, or is all the property lines go right up to the Brock Hill?
That's where, yeah. Yeah.
They do.
Mr. Vincent that appeared here, he has property back there.
But Todd, your point, you said you can't touch it, right? You said you can't touch
it. Can't get to it by boat.
Can't even get to it by boat, yeah.
But I mean, that's my point. So it is, how is it, why are you not able to touch it? So therefore, it is preserved.
Well, you can touch it.
Well,
no, but I'm being sincere. Is who says you can't?
We
is it Denrec? Is it, I mean, who, what?
You couldn't get a permit to build there. It's all... It, you know, it, there's nothing you can do on it because of the nature of the property.
Right.
You know,
it's probably regulated by Denrec, I would think.
I would think so, too.
Yeah, that's titled wetlands.
Yeah.
So,
if not the core. Right?
Because of that, it would be protected, preserved,
but it's
right?
not designated like Prime Hook National Refuge has an official designation with property maintenance and things of that nature.
It's regulated, not owned, I think is what you're saying. By
might be a good question for Denrec, just to know what level of...
But what he's talking about, they could get an owner can go in and clear cut it. An owner, if it's wetlands, you're allowed to dig out wetlands currently. You can't fill them, but you can dig them out. So there's a lot of activities private property owners can impact an area like the Great Marsh.
Mm-hmm.
So don't let us all believe that because it's marshland, then there's no buffer from it. Where does it stop and start and all this other stuff? So anyway, I dare say there's not much protection coming from Sussex County on something like that. How do we do it? We maybe try to get easements or something. We engage it that way. But Right now, there's no protection.
And there's also the preservation of the Great Marsh by preserving the property around the Great Marsh, too, or leading up to it. There's uplands that go to the marsh.
We, the county.
But they're all privately owned and could be developed.
You got current money, you're right, Lee.
And that would impact the preservation of the Great Marsh.
And that would impact. So that's where the buffers and that type of stuff are.
I'll look for the help, George.
Right.
But I think having a mention of preservation of the Great Marsh needs to stay.
And I'm all for it.
As well as the others.
Yeah, we can include that. That's not a problem.
Much of the Birch Swamp is under privately owned land. Or it's under that.
So, to follow through on that, how is it that we determine the preservation of it? Is it, do we have somebody reach over to Denrick? How is it that we move forward with that question?
Well, that would be the implementation of it. So it could be in a number of ways.
This is aside from this. So I'm just saying in general.
Right. So it would be any number of ways. One would be reaching out to Denrick to see what they would do or support any preservation efforts that they would have.
Work with the Sussex County Land Trust to get easements and stuff like that.
Right. Or, through land use regulations even. I think you have a lot of potential tools in that toolbox. Some, working with other people, some that the county's doing itself.
But as a gentleman just said at the end of the counter here, they don't perceive there's much they can do with it. So the value more is in, say, hunting and stuff like that, and vistas and views and stuff like that. But
Well, and Mr. Burton and I were just discussing the uplands leading into the Great Marsh would also have an impact on the preservation of the Great Marsh.
That's
so
where buffers fall into place.
But I guess the question would be, is there extra protection around areas like the Great Marsh, the Burnt Swamp, those areas, because they are dedicated natural features of Sussex County?
There's nothing protecting them today.
But here we are today. I think bringing Denrick in and talking about it is a good strategy to try and put something on these named resources that we have to maybe put an additional layer of protection towards them.
That's a good idea.
So a new strategy could be working with other agencies to determine any necessary protection of recognized
additional
protections of recognized natural features. As an example, the Great Marsh.
We could put cooperating with other agencies and landowners to help with the further preservation of those types of sites. Because we're not talking about the ones that are already protected, like federal lands and state lands. This is privately owned. parts of Trap Pond is privately owned, and these other ponds over there.
I think you need to add somewhere along the thought Janelle had, those significant natural resources, because natural resource includes everything down to, a spot of wetlands on a farm field.
That's
going to be interpreted wrong if you word it.
So, Bushman Lawson, if I understood you correct, so somebody owns all of the Great Marsh.
Part of it's in the town of Lewis, so it's within the town boundaries of the town of Lewis.
J.G. Townsend owned some of it at one point.
Can't you pull up the map and see if property lines go into it?
We can show you. I have it. I'm looking at it as we were talking about it.
Does it show property lines going through?
Sure. City of Lewis, University of Delaware on the east-southeast side of it, where it goes into that side. And then.
Can you show that picture real quick?
Yeah, she's bringing it up right now.
I was working on
it. Yeah.
Oh, that's just
under G. The story is mine.
Why don't we just take away from them and rent ourselves? Just take it.
I'll rent it.
Take it. Sure. Okay. Go ahead if you want to.
There you go. I don't think
that's $100 to get to it.
Yeah.
I got it.
One of those ditch witches or whatever you call it.
So you can't rent it, right?
Okay. Right in the middle. Click on the middle, Janelle. You can see that it brought up as the town of Lewis when I clicked it. Yeah.
All that yellow?
Yeah. So those are individual. The track just to the right of that is owned by my family, 12 acres.
Right there?
No, just to the right, where the cursor is. There it is.
Look at all that waterfront.
Yeah. My grandfather acquired it in a church sale.
Right. Well, certainly, as the legend goes, part of the town of Lewis is up to the town of Lewis.
Yeah, and I don't know what that means. Sometimes the mapping, you know, and the jurisdictional boundaries are, we'd want to make sure we understood that. But you're right in what you say.
I guess my question, where I was headed, was so somebody or bodies own all this Great Marsh.
Correct.
Yeah, all the pink lines.
We're talking about protecting it from whoever, whatever. Suppose the guy that owns it says, I'll protect my own land. You stay out of my business.
Good idea.
I own that piece of property.
I agree with that thought.
You know what I'm saying?
Mike, it would only be if an application came in for redevelopment of this, where the type of, there's no buffers or anything implied here on any of these people currently. It's when they ask for changes or come in for a site plan approval or something for a subdivision that would be impacted. And then which we do everywhere else with other people, we do buffers, we do this, we do
that. I just thought the way this thing was headed, the way it was
set. No, we're not trying to.
And her verbiage was, we're going to preserve this thing. Made a guy whose land said, I don't want you, I'll worry about preserving it. I own it, you know what I mean?
Now,
if you want to develop it, then restore it.
Now, an example could be that the Sussex County Land Trust that IG and I are on could approach, say, the Lawson family. We know they own that one. Would they like to sell a conservation easement, and that be a way of protecting it? So we need to say that we support the protection through easements and purchasing or whatever it would take.
Well, we just amended that strategy to recognize the purchase of easements in open space about a half hour ago.
Right.
So we've got that one. We've got others that look at buffers, potentially changing those, increasing those, or other ways to protect the natural resources. And if you wanted to address the significant natural features, such as the Great Swamp, the Great Marsh, you know, we could, again, I stated something about 15 minutes ago that I do not remember at this point, about looking at ways to partnering with other agencies to provide additional protection for the significant natural resources.
I can read that to you if you want. Janelle said, work with other agencies to determine additional protection of significant resources in the county, such as Great Marsh.
There you go.
So eloquent. There you go.
Is that okay with you, George?
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay with you, IG? Where's IG?
I want to make sure that we're not just limiting it to the Great Marsh.
It was an example of.
Okay.
And if there are other examples, we can add that as well. But that one, that we just happen to be talking about this one right now.
Okay.
So okay. I included that one. Okay, so we're good? Ready to move on?
Who got inside Great Marsh, IG?
All right, let's jump into community design.
Burnt Swamp. Is that your district? Mm-hmm. I know it is.
Why do you ask?
I want to see if you assure me.
Okay.